He says, "My little children, let us not love in word and tongue," what's coming out of our mouth, "but in deed," that means action, "and in truth." What good is your Christianity if it's just all talk? Is it any good?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome. On Love Never Fails this week, Pastor Bill continues his in-depth study from the Epistle of James. And if you happen to be following along in your Bibles, Pastor is teaching from chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Now, Pastor Bill, with today's message, what is real faith?
We have now entered in on our study in James to the main part of it, the key theme, if you will. And so remember that James was written, these five chapters, 108 verses, and all the commands and so forth, they were written so we could hold up a mirror and look at ourselves and see if we are maturing in the faith. Amen? See, we can look and see, are we really moving into Christ's likeness? So James is a tremendous study, and he shouts to you, like I told you in the very first sermon, like a drill sergeant, you know, grow up, grow up. Written to the Jewish believers. And of course, James, a half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's writing now to these Jewish believers and to us as well. This morning, we have entered in to the most misunderstood passage in James. And it's caused a lot of fear with a lot of Christians. It's caused also a lot of denominations to say things that they shouldn't be saying, okay? But in our text this morning, the main theme is going to be faith and works, okay? So faith is mentioned, and I could be wrong. I think it's mentioned at least 11 times. Works mentioned about 13 times, okay? So with all that being said, those are two important words, especially faith, amen? We are Christians. The Christian, does he live by faith? Yes, he does. Does he walk by faith? Yes, he does. How does faith actually work? Faith worketh by love. Faith works. How does it work? It is energized, given power. How? By love. Everything is by love. Did you know that? See, if you don't have the love of Jesus in your heart, you're not going to really love anyone. Amen? Maybe just love yourself. Come on. So we think about that. I mean, we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. The only way to please God, you can't please God without faith. If whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says, Romans 14:23, is sin. And we're going to learn this morning that faith without works is dead. Now listen very carefully. We have three kinds, if you will, in this passage of faith. We're going to study dead faith. We're going to study demonic faith, and then we're going to study, I call it divine faith, but you could call it dynamic faith, okay, or real faith. That's the title of the sermon this morning. What is real faith? And we're going to find out. But I want to clear something up this morning. Number one, are we saved by faith only, right? Are we saved by works? Okay, good. 30 of you, maybe. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8, remember, for by grace you have been saved. How? What's the channel? Through faith, right? It says, not of yourselves. You didn't do it. Salvation is God beginning to the end. Amen? So it says, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Works are a result of those who have been saved. Amen? Now, so not of works, lest anybody should boast. We have nothing to brag about, man. God did it all. All right. Now, so we're saved that way, but we were also created for good works. Amen? Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes, he says, for we are his workmanship, God's poem, if you will, God's masterpiece. That's who you are. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared before time, before the world ever was, that we should walk in them. So It's very important to remember something about works, okay? How important are works? The works in the life of the believer. If you study out in Matthew chapter 25, the sheep and goat judgment, if you go into the book of Revelation at the end there and study out the great white throne judgment, if you go and study out the Bema seat of Christ, the place of rewards, did you know every one of the judgments in the Bible that's either a lost person's going to face or those that helped Israel during at the second coming and all of that? Listen, it's all about works. It's what you did. When you brought Jesus, remember he said, just a drink of water. One of these little ones said, you did it unto me. So it's all about works. Works are very important, but works don't save you. And so we need to understand that this morning. So works, loved one, is literally, they're not the root of salvation. Works are the fruit of being saved, aren't they? Now, with all of that being said, very important, James is going to ask us and them, he's going to ask them very important questions. And as he does, they all in the Greek structure, the way they're set up and written, they all demand an answer, and that answer is going to be no, okay? So let's look at some of these questions, he says, as we look at what real faith is. He starts off, and he says, what does it profit, or literally, what good is it, my brethren, if someone says, that is a very important word, and you'll hear it over and over again here. So if someone says with their mouth, they profess with their mouth that he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him, or can that kind of faith save him? And what's the answer? No. And why is that? Because it is only profession. It is dead faith. It's not living faith at all. Listen, any person can say, hey, do you believe in God? Yes, sir. Are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. You bet. I believe in his virgin birth. I believe the death, burial, resurrection, ascension. I believe in the blood. I believe in it all. Anyone can say, I believe that the Bible is God-breathed and it's a living word. Anyone can say, I memorize the Bible or quote, I can quote scripture. But if it's all that he has is what he says, it's dead faith. See, it says there, can his profession, what he says with his mouth, can it save him? Can that kind of faith save him? Loved one, listen, James is teaching us here, dead faith can save no one. Why? If all that a person says, I'm a Christian, if all that person has is words, the words that come out of his mouth, what we say, but he doesn't do it, then that is profession. He professes it, but he doesn't practice it. In other words, he has words without works. Amen? Very important here. Now, so what good is a person's faith if it's all in their tongue? It's just in their mouth. It's all talk, but they don't have the walk. He just says it. What did Jesus say about that? Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of God. Amen? We can all say things, but if we don't do them, we're in trouble. Just a profession of saying it, if it's dead, if you don't back it up, it's dead faith. Let me give you some other scriptures. Ezekiel 33:31. He says this, God says to him, you know what, Ezekiel? They come to you as people do, and they sit before you. In other words, like you're going to teach the word of God. And they come before you, he says, as my people. He didn't say they were his people. They come before you as my people. They say I'm a believer in God, and they hear your words, but listen to what he says, but they don't do your words. They don't do them at all. For with their mouth, here's that word, they show much love, or literally, they say loving things, but their heart is not there. Boy, that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? To say those things, but you don't do it. Now, he says in Titus 1:6, talking about false teachers, he says they have a profession. They profess with their mouths to know God. They have an intimate relationship with Almighty God. But he says, but in works, they deny God, meaning they're disobedient. They're disobedient, and they're not fit for any good work, the Bible says. In Titus 3:8, it says this, this is a faithful saying, and these things, Paul says, I want you to affirm constantly over and over and over that those who have believed in God, do you believe in God? I do too. Those who have believed in God, not a profession, I just say it, but no, they believe in their heart in God, should be careful to maintain or engage in good works. If we say that we know God, we need to remember this. Knowing God means you have an intimate relationship with Him. Salvation and obedience go together, and they can never, never be separated. True living faith always has evidence, and that is called works, okay? Packer put it this way, what saves is faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Look at verse 14 again. So, what does it profit, or what good is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can that kind of faith save him? Can it? No, absolutely not. No. Now, true faith does something. True faith is really love in action because you love the Lord. You're obedient. So true faith serves. Okay, look here at verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you, what's that word? Says to them, oh, depart in peace, be warm, be filled. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. In other words, to survive, what does it profit? That's another rhetorical question. Is it any good? What good is it? No, it's good for nothing. Amen? Yeah, and so it's just all talk. It says, if a brother or sister, you Christians, man, they're hungry. They're destitute of food. They need clothing. And you just, you know, just pulled into In-N-Out Burger and fed your family. You know what I mean? A little scripture on the, in the scripture come on that? I don't eat there. I'm just asking. You come in, you go out, and is there a scripture on the cup or something? So you've eaten there. And then your brother or sister, they're sitting in the car next to you, and you pull in, you've got those fries and the double meat, and you're taking that bite, and you look over there, and oh, good, so good to see you, Brother Jim. I'm hungry. Well, praise the Lord. And you say, oh, depart in peace, be warmed. Be warm. Be filled. Listen, that's a bad thing, isn't it? Now, I want you to really see this scripture in light of the way it's written in the Greek. Because what happens is we read it and we understand it, but I want you to understand it in a deeper way. Because those verbs that are there, okay, the verbs that depart are go in peace, be warm, be filled. Now, in the Greek, they're all, those verbs are in a form of a command, okay? So really, they could sound this, you could translate them something like this. And let me give you about three translations. Here's the first one. Now, you go yourself, just go, warm yourself, and fill yourself. That's what he's saying. Let me give you another one. Let the shivering, hungry brother or sister pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. I like Phillips the best. It says, good luck to you. I hope you'll keep warm. I hope you find enough to eat. In other words, it's like me saying, hey, brother, man, God bless you. I love you, bro. Hang in there, you know, don't worry about it. I'm going to be praying for you, and God is good. But I don't do anything about it. Listen, this person that James is writing about, he had the ability to offer at least something to help. The only thing he offered them was what came out of his mouth. That is dead faith, because faith always has action. And so this, I mean, didn't prosper them at all. It's just a bunch of words. It's no different than the priest and the Levite. Remember in the Good Samaritan, there they are. They've been serving God up in the temple, man, and praying and singing and all the rest of it. And they're on their way down to home. And there's that guy that's halfway dead. And they just, did they help him? No, they just looked at him and they passed on the other side. However, if you stop them and question them about God's word, which they knew, they would defend their faith, but they would hear, they would not demonstrate it. People can defend what they believe. That's religion, but never practice it. Boy, that's dead faith, loved one. We're to do good to people. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, for Christians, we have opportunity. Let us do good to all. Everybody. Everybody, do good to all. That's the royal law that we learned last time we were together, right? That you love your neighbor as yourself. And then it goes on to say, especially the household of faith. In other words, believers. John the Apostle of Love writes this in 1 John 3:16 about helping other people. He says, by this we know love. Okay, John, how do we know love? You ready? Because Jesus laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Jesus proved that he loved us, didn't he? God proved that he loved us. Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated or proved his own love because he sent Jesus and he died for the ungodly. Amen? Died for sinners. And he says, but whoever has this world's goods, the necessities of life, if you will, and he sees his brother or even his sister, all right, in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide or live in him? See, anyone can say, I love you, man. I love you, brother. I love you, sister, you know, and then not do a thing. Listen, he says, my little children, let us not love in word and tongue. What just coming out of our mouth? But in deed, that means action, in deed and in truth. Let me ask you one question. What good is your Christianity? What good is my Christianity if it's just all talk? Is it any good? No, it's not any good at all. That's why he says in verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That word means it's useless. Dead faith is profession. You say you love the Lord, but you don't practice that. You say you help other people, but you don't help. You just say those things, okay? It's just religion. It's just words. Listen, anyone can just say, I love you. I'm going to be praying for you. But there's a problem. You see, you can't treat love in the Greek as agape, okay? You can't treat the agape of God, the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart, it's given to us by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, okay? You can't treat that word love, agape, as a noun because it's a verb. And if it's a verb, it has to have action. It has to be just demonstrated, amen? So you can say all day long to your wife, I love you. I love you. Honey, I love you. Baby, we're going to watch the Super Bowl, but I love you. You understand? That wasn't funny. I don't know. I don't have much humor. Love is a verb. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love, agape. Love your wives. Well, how? Give me some action. You know what I mean? Baby, I love you. I bought you a washer and dryer. Baby, I love you. How about that big power mower? Keeps you in shape, man. You know, you mow that yard, you know. That's not love. No, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, amen? It's a verb. You demonstrate that love. You cherish her as Christ does. How about the new commandment, which is part of the vision statement of this church, John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you that ye love one another. Now, that's not new. The new part is that you love one another as I have loved you to the same degree as I love you. Okay, that is action. It's demonstrated. It's just not saying I love you. And he says, by this action, doing what I tell you to do, because love can be seen when it's a verb. Amen? He says, the whole world or all will know that you belong to me, that you're my disciples. So, see, a lot of Christians, and it's unfortunate, they substitute talking for action. They have the talk, but they don't have the walk. Listen, anybody, if you're thirsty, I can say, well, we don't have any water here, but there's a water faucet outside. Okay? And if you want a drink, you have to go out there and turn the water faucet on. Right? Well, you see, you can say, oh, I believe that that water faucet, if I turned it on, there'd be water coming out. But if you don't go and do it, do you understand what I mean? You see, faith always requires action, if you will. So faith that is alive, if you see a hurting person, is going to cost you something. The Lord leads you, not a freeloader, someone who's really hurting, okay? A brother or sister, you know, it's going to cost you. But just talking about it and not doing it, it's not going to cost you a thing. So he says here in verse 18, but someone, and there's that word again, someone will say, it just comes out of their mouth, you have faith and I have works. And look what James says, okay, show me your faith. Show me your alleged faith that you profess. It comes out of your mouth. He says, without your works or apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works, by my obedience, by love in action, if you will. Now listen, we learned in Hebrews, we've already talked about this, and I know you know this, but faith alone cannot be seen. Amen? Did y'all forget that already? Faith alone cannot be seen. Why? Faith is invisible. Every person, if you are a believer, the Bible says that you have been given a measure of faith. You have faith. Faith comes, someone quoted it a minute ago, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. But faith that is not demonstrated, put into action, you can't see it. In other words, let's use this. Somebody said the other day, man, I am so thankful we have an orphanage in Mexico, in Camargo. And he says, you know, I support that. And I say, praise the Lord, thank you. But here's the deal. I didn't say this to the person, but I'm saying it to you. So you believe in supporting the orphanage in Mexico. But if you don't write out a check, or if you don't drop a dollar in the offering, are you supporting it? No, all you have is words. That's not faith. It's dead faith, loved one. Man, listen, it cannot be seen. Faith is invisible. It's like this. Someone put it this way. Faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you can see the results. Now, I've never seen a calorie. I don't even really understand all that anyway. But I do know this. If you sit at home every night and you eat a gallon of Blue Bell ice cream, you know what I'm saying? I don't know about how many calories that is because you don't see them, but you can see the results. Amen? Okay, never mind. Now, so faith is something that can be seen. You remember in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, that Jesus was in Capernaum, and he was teaching in a home there. Some believe it to be the house of Peter. And man, they were bringing all kinds of sick people, and he was, it says Jesus was preaching the word of God to them. And the house was full. Around the entire house, it was full. And these four men showed up, and they had a stretcher, and on that stretcher, they were carrying a man who was paralyzed that they loved. And so they tried to get into the door, and they couldn't. They tried to go around this way. They couldn't do it. And so they said they had a plan. Boy, they had faith is what they had. So they climbed on the roof. When's the last time you climbed on the roof and brought up a stretcher with a paralyzed man? And you know what they did? Did they tear the roof apart? Jesus is sitting in a chair in that house teaching. They tear the middle of the roof apart, and they lower that stretcher down with the paralyzed man on it, boom, in front of Jesus. And Jesus says this in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. Faith can be seen, but only when it is by action. See, that's the kind of faith Jesus wants to see, loved one. Listen, he could see exactly what was going on. Man, listen, what I love about those guys, those four men, they didn't say, well, it's too crowded. You can't get our buddy in. No, they said, we're going to get this guy in one way or another. Listen, that's what you call bringing victory to someone, isn't it? And that's exactly what happened right there. And that's the kind of faith that Jesus sees. Let me ask you a question, and I say this in love. Does anyone see your faith, Christian? Do they see your faith demonstrated? Or is it just you have faith, but it's never doing a thing? Boy, beware. That's a very dangerous place to be. See, faith is made seen by action. Jesus saw their faith. Man, not only that, I bet the guy who owned that house was upset. He saw their faith too. I mean, you know, who's going to pay for that, right? You know, so you see all of that. Faith alone cannot be seen. It's invisible. You have to do a work. Now, he says, thus, in verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Okay, that's dead faith. It is useless. It's inoperative talk. There's no walk to it at all. And so, again, this person only had religion in his mouth or religion on his tongue. Now, look at verse 19, a very important verse. We go from dead faith to demonic faith.
Well, there's so much more to this message, so please tune in tomorrow when Pastor Bill will complete today's study. Thanks, everyone, for listening with us today. May the Lord bless your day, and we hope to see you tomorrow. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.